free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Monday, April 20th, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. We're told that here in Texas now, the governor of Texas has graciously consented to allowing what he considers to be non-essential businesses to remain open. Well, Governor Abbott, you are non-essential. Anybody who presumes to determine what businesses, broad categories, are essential and which ones aren't, is not fit for office. You have violated the Constitution you swore an oath to. Certainly the federal Constitution. I don't know that much about the Texas Constitution. I'm not from Texas. I just live here. And I'm not too happy about that. Not too happy about being anywhere in America right now. We have some people who stood up over the weekend, the Great Escape, many different cities. And, of course, the media has tried to downplay that as much as possible. We see from the Daily Mail, hundreds of people across the United States, many, many different states, many, many locations, each of them probably having more than 100 people. Nevertheless, the next day they changed it and said thousands. Okay, whatever. we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll have some clips from the rallies. But I like this fee.org, the Foundation for Economic Education. This fee.org article, The Essentialness of Non-Essential Businesses. If we're told, perhaps, that, you know, the only thing that's essential, really, are the government agents, right? The government is always essential. All branches of the government are essential. Well, except for parks, because, you know, they don't really want to serve you. That's why whenever they have a budget dispute, the first thing they shut down are the parks, because they know that you will feel that first. And you'll whine and cry and say, give me back my government. I need my government to keep my parks open. Well, it's the first thing they shut down every time. Every time. As they point out here, though, essential businesses are those granted the benefit of continuing business as usual. In other words, they are privilege. I started using the term corona capitalism instead of crony capitalism because I've noticed that there seems to be a troubling connection between the big box retailers being allowed to stay open and the small retailers who are closed. Here in Texas, Governor Abbott has said, well, we will allow retail stores to remain open if they can do curbside service. Well, Governor Abbott, maybe you haven't noticed, but that's not the business model for many, many retailers. Curbside service just doesn't cut it. And neither do your orders. How pathetic. These rhinos, these Republicans in name only, if the Republican Party, in fact, represents anything like individual liberty or the Constitution, I can't find any evidence of that, not in today's Republican Party. This is not the party of Barry Goldwater. This is not the party that I ever supported. Certainly not the party of Taft. Boy, they are so far away. As I've said before, this Republican Party today is indistinguishable from the Democrat Party of my youth and young adulthood. I can't tell the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats that I grew up opposing. And I don't support Republicans at all in any way, shape, or form. Don't call me a Republican. Please do not call me a Republican. I've never called myself that anyway. You can find me at Libertarian. I got some problems with libertarians too, but because they don't support pro-life. I tell you what, these Republicans have become such frauds. We'll talk about that when we come back. And today, or actually yesterday, April 19th, the 245th anniversary of Concord and Lexington. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. April 20th, year of our Lord, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host, and of course it is one day after the 245th anniversary of Concord and Lexington. Let's remember what happened there. As I mentioned many times, they weren't just coming after some, you know, ineffective muskets. They were coming after rifles. They were coming after cannons. Cannons. You know, like the cannons at Goliad? Here when Santa Anna was coming out right after the Alamo, then he massacred everybody at Goliad. That's why you have that flag that says, come and take it, with a cannon on it. You know, we've done so many updates of that with modern instruments, weapons, with AR-15s and so forth, that many people forget that the original really was a cannon. Come and take the cannons if you can. And the problem was they caught the people at Goliad out in the open. They had a great fortress that was much better fortified than the Alamo was. But unfortunately, they decided, let's go. We can go somewhere else or whatever. They got caught out in the open outside the fortress. Santa Anna brought them back in and then massacred them. A couple of guys escaped to tell the story. But let's talk about Concord and Lexington 245 years ago yesterday, last Sunday. In response to the raised alarm, the militiamen of Concord and Lincoln had mustered in Concord, and they received reports of firings at Lexington. A column of militia marched down the road toward Lexington to meet the British. As the regulars numbered about 700, and the militia at this time only numbered about 250, the militia column turned around and marched back into Concord, preceding the regulars by about 500 yards. They stayed about 500 yards ahead of them, just out of range. The militia retreated to a ridge overlooking the town, and their officers discussed what to do next. Caution prevailed. Colonel James Barrett withdrew from the center of the town, led the men across the north bridge to a hill about a mile north, where he could continue to watch the troop movements of the British and the activities in the town center. When the British troops arrived at the village of Concord, Lieutenant Colonel Smith divided them to carry out Gage's orders. Using detailed information provided by Loyalist spies, the Grenadier Company searched the small town for military supplies. When they arrived at Ephraim Jones's tavern by the jail on the South Bridge Road, they found the door barred shut, and Jones refused them entry. According to reports provided by the local Loyalists, Pitcairn knew cannon had been buried on the property. Jones was ordered at gunpoint to show where the guns were buried. These turned out to be three massive pieces, firing 24-pound shot that were much too heavy to use defensively. Understand, what we're talking about here is a cannon. It was too big to be used defensively. This was a cannon. An offensive cannon. You have defensive cannons. This was one designed for offense. What do they mean by that? It means that it was used to take down forts, fortifications. So it was a long-range, powerful gun that would be used to knock down the walls of forts. So it was offensive. Offensive weapon. A military weapon. A state-of-the-art military weapon that the British were trying to take from these militia. It had sufficient range to bombard the city of Boston from other parts of nearby mainland. The Grenadiers smashed the trunnions of these three guns so they could not be mounted. They also burned some gun carriages that were found in the village meeting house. And when the fire spread to the meeting house itself, a local resident persuaded the soldiers to help in a bucket brigade to save the building. Nearby, they threw flour and salted food into the mill pond, along with 550 pounds of musket balls. Of the damage done, only that done to the cannon was significant. During the whole affair, the rebels attacked us in a very scattered, irregular manner, reported the British afterwards. But they did so with perseverance and with resolution. Nor did they ever dare to form into any regular body. Indeed, they knew too well what was proper to do so. Whoever looks upon them as an irregular mob will find himself much mistaken. They have men amongst them who know very well what they're about, having been employed as rangers against the Indians and the Canadians, and this country, being much covered with wood and hilly, is very advantageous for their method of fighting. In the morning, Boston was surrounded by a huge militia army numbering over 15,000. Remember, the day before, they were outnumbered 700 British to 250 militia. The next morning, after the British had suffered withering fire on their retreat. They found themselves surrounded by 15,000 who had marched from all over New England. Unlike the powder alarm, the rumors of spilled blood were true, and the Revolutionary War had begun. Now, under the leadership of General Artemus Ward, who arrived on the 20th and replaced Brigadier General William Heath, they formed a siege line extending from Chelsea around the peninsulas of Boston and Charleston to Roxbury. The battle was not a major one in terms of tactics or casualties. However, in terms of supporting the British political strategy behind the intolerable acts and the military strategy behind the powder alarms, the battle was a significant failure because the expedition contributed to the fighting it was intended to prevent and because few weapons were actually seized. Yeah, really, all they got was the cannon. And when you hear Eric Swalwell and pretty much every other Democrat now talking about how you're not allowed to have military weapons, yeah. And so we had, for the 245th anniversary, you had the adjacent towns preparing for a big celebration, you know, because it's a multiple of five. 240th, 245th, 250th, maybe that'll be big, maybe not, because this 245th anniversary celebration of Concord and Lexington was canceled. Canceled by the coronavirus. Because now the virus is king. We fought against a King George. Will we fight against a virus king? Will we fight against Fauci and Burks, the CDC? The people who have told us that they are here for our health, who have presided over bioweapons research that could wipe out humanity. And they continue to do so in a careless, reckless manner. They continue to do so in spite of prohibitions of funding. And then they tell us that they're concerned about our health. They not only fund these research projects here in America with universities everywhere. One of them that was right down the street from where I lived, didn't even know it, UNC Chapel Hill. But they also gave $3.7 million to the Chinese lab in Wuhan. These are the people who tell us to trust them. They have our health and interest, right? Should we really trust these people? Should you trust the statistics that they give you? Should you trust the mounting death toll of COVID-19? Should you trust their pronouncements about its fatality rate or about its transmissibility? Should you trust anything? Anything that the CDC tells you? We'll be talking about that today. But I just want to take a look at one of the pronouncements as it gets more and more dire. This article from the LA Times, you'll see it on the Drudge Report, because there's a lot of stuff on the Drudge Report, always hyping every aspect of this. Oh, is it on my shoes? Is it on the clothes? Is it on... What? Where is it? It's everywhere, and I'm going to die from it, right? Well, here's this article from the LA Times. Do testicles make men more vulnerable to the coronavirus? Oh, yes, they do. Because people with cojones will stand up to this tyranny today, just like they stood up to Concord and Lexington. Having testicles made them a bit more vulnerable to the British, didn't it? It made the people at the Alamo and Goliad a bit more vulnerable, didn't it? If you stand up and fight for your freedom, it makes you a bit more vulnerable than these snowflakes who need to grow a pair. So go hide in your little safe places. We don't need you to liberate this country. Go from us. You never were one of us, you sunshine patriots. Somebody asked me, what are you talking about, sunshine patriots? I said, it's a historical reference. You wouldn't get it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Here we are 245 years after Concord and Lexington, and you have the New York City mayor saying If you don't understand it yet, we're going to have to get tougher and tougher. I think we understand what's going on, de Blasio. You pathetic Marxist. We understand the incrementalism. We understand that even though the pandemic has not materialized in spite of the dire prediction and failed models of the CDC, who have lied to us about every one of these pandemics. You know, you had Kellyanne Conway saying, well, you know, this is COVID-19. I would have thought that they'd get it right by now. It's like, this is 2020, Kellyanne. I would have thought you would get it right by now. But look, the problem is when you have uninformed idiots like Kellyanne Conway in your administration, what they do is undermine the fact that the CDC, the World Health Organization, Fauci specifically, he's been there since 1985. And just in the last 20 years, they've had, I think, I counted it the other day, I can't remember what it was, 8 or 9 different cry wolf pandemics that did not materialize. A pandemic means a global epidemic, and the only global epidemic that we have had is one of statism and political manipulation. Understand, we don't have two choices here. We don't have to follow the Chinese model of locking everything down, or choice number two is everybody dies. These people always give you this false paradigm. They always give you this is another tactic of the communists, the Hegelian dialectic. Well, you got to take either this or that, because there is no other choice except the two that I give you. Gotcha now, right? I'll set up the terminology for what we call this thing, and I'll give you two choices, and you pick those two choices. You pick from those two choices, and I've got everything skewed to the one choice. No, that's not the only two choices that we had to deal with this disease. And again, I'll remind you, whether it is the swine flu, or whether it is the bird flu, or SARS, or MERS, or Ebola, or Zika virus, these were all supposed to be epidemic proportions everywhere in the world. A pandemic. That's what a pandemic is. It's a worldwide epidemic. Didn't happen. There were localized problems with some of those. Some of those really weren't any problems. It was all just smoke and mirrors from Fauci and the usual suspects. And so now we have Bill de Blasio. He's now doubled down on his demand that New Yorkers snitch on citizens, reports Todd Starnes. He said the mayor said to the New York Post, in war times, they keep going back to this. Yeah, you understand, don't you, that we have a war. This is a war. Who are the enemy combatants? Well, that's you, the American people. First, they began with the first thing that you do in a war, and that is economic sanctions. Economic sanctions, always the first step toward a war. Those were done against the American people. And then we've had other acts of war against the American people. Martial law has not been declared. It's not going to be declared. It will just be done. And it's been done to you. Have you had enough? I think a lot of people have. We have reports about what people did across the country coming up this last weekend. But de Blasio says, in war times, in a time when people's lives are threatened, I'm sorry, this is not snitching. This is about saving lives. Yeah, a snitch in time. Saves lives, right? He knows it's a snitch. He says, when we were threatened with terrorism, see, that's it. You are the terrorist now if you don't wear a mask. You're the bioterrorist, and it's getting increasingly abrasive to walk around without a mask. I have some personal stories to relate about that, as well as a lot of comments back and forth from people over the weekend on Twitter about masks, because that is now where this has gone. Why didn't these people think about this at the very beginning? I mean, we've got medical experts, you know, like Fauci and Birx, and this is not their first rodeo or their first pandemic. Yeah, there haven't been 18 of them, Kellyanne, but if you would get with a program and figure out what's going on instead of just being a useless apologist for President Trump, you could actually address the real issues here. This is, for them, it's nothing about spin and political advantage. This has nothing to do with the Constitution, individual liberty, or the American people. It's just their political advantage. And it's so disgusting to watch this. Festering swamp everywhere. Republicans, Democrats, the White House, all of them are disgusting at this point. When we were threatened with terrorism, nobody doubted that it was right, if you saw something, to call it in immediately. I think we did. I think we pushed back against this see something, say something mentality. He says, if you don't understand this yet, we're going to have to get tougher and tougher, because that's what this is about. This is about them getting tougher and tougher. It's about having government everywhere. As the Washington Post points out, government is everywhere now. So where does it go next? Our government is now omnipresent. It is everywhere, and it is setting up and increasing its surveillance to become omniscient, to know everything about you. It already thinks that it's omnipotent. I'm really looking forward to the real God striking this government down to the ground and rubbing it into dust. Into dust. This proud American government that thinks that it's God. I'll be right here when it happens, but there'll be some satisfaction in that. But here's what the Washington Post has to say. Americans are experiencing the biggest expansion of government authority in generations as elected leaders take unprecedented action to fight the deadly coronavirus pandemic. And the Washington Post is mighty satisfied about this, because they look at this and say, this is an overturning of the whole idea of limited government that began with President Reagan. And they're right about that. I agree with them about that. I just think that's a bad thing. They think it's a good thing. The role of government, says the Washington Post, has changed overnight in ways that no one imagined as this election year began. Despite a broad consensus behind this emergency surge in government spending and power, a huge debate over what government does and should do lies ahead. The battle will be waged on terms that could be far different from those that existed before the pandemic, terms that have held sway since President Reagan arrived in Washington 4 decades ago, determined to put advocates of a vigorous government on the defensive for the first time since the New Deal. And they said, we're being hit by this pandemic because we have hollowed out federal agencies. Are you kidding me? Nobody but the Washington Post could think that Washington was hollowed out. It's just like the Republicans who say, look at this. You know, we got the largest military on earth, and it's more than all the rest of the militaries combined, but it has just been hollowed out by Obama. So we got to spend some more money and build that up. And this is what they're saying. Hollowed out federal agencies, persistent underinvestment in public health. Well, how's that public health investment turning out for you now? Do you think these people know what they're doing? They can't respond. They don't even, are not even able to come up with a reliable test, even as they're watching this whole thing unfold. But the Federal Reserve former chair, Janet Yellen, says, I think it could be a paradigm shifting. And that's exactly right. And so the question is, as we shift in this fourth turning, as we go into a Great Depression, most likely a war, a world war, what will be the paradigm that we come out with? Will it be one of greater freedom? Not if we don't talk about liberty and the Constitution. No, it will not. We'll be right back.
Making sense common again. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, as we look at Bill de Blasio saying, if you don't get it, we're going to have to get tougher. And we've noticed that. I think we get it, de Blasio. We understand that as this pandemic fails to materialize, as we see people going by hospitals, and I see so many videos of nurses that are, you know, dancing in the hallways and so forth, or their big butts. You've seen that, the viral one. But there's many others. And we've had many people go by and say, look, it's all empty. Why? Because they kicked anybody out that doesn't have coronavirus. Because, you know, the hospitals are going to be overloaded with people who had coronavirus. They had projections from the models that were being pushed by the CDC based on individual state projections. They missed them by a minimum of 200%. In other words, they overestimated the number of hospital beds needed by at least 2 times. And in some places, like Texas, 9 times. In Washington State, 10 times and so forth. and they missed the number of ventilators that would be needed by a factor of 40 times. They overestimated that. So as they've kicked everybody out, said, you know, you can't have anything non-essential, you know, like a biopsy for cancer. That's not essential. We're going to sit here and wait for the coronavirus people to come in. Are they coming in? Nah, I don't see them. Yeah, we built 2,500, 2,700 beds in New York City. They didn't need it. Sent 400 ventilators. They're getting rid of them. You know, we had Cuomo screaming, ah, what am I going to do with 400? I need 30,000. Well, he put them in storage, and now they're sending them elsewhere. They're selling ventilators to Mexico. We are now. In spite of the fact that they can make a profit by just having a big, big, big profit just by having one diagnosed COVID-19 patient put on a ventilator, because you get $13,000 just for diagnosing somebody as having COVID-19 in your hospital. If you put them on a ventilator, $39,000, you're already up to $52,000. A ventilator only costs $50,000. And then you can charge them for the daily use of a ventilator, for the daily use of the bed, and for all the time of the doctors and nurses and any other medications that you can tack on there. It's a racket. It's a racket. And yet, you've got the Navy ships that were sent to New York and L.A., empty, sent them away. They packed up the temporary hospitals, all this stuff. But it's a war. And if you don't get this, de Blasio is getting tougher and tougher with people. You understand, he's in charge. And now it's not the virus. Now it's your personal conduct. Are you outside when they say you should not be outside? Are you not wearing a mask when they say that you should be wearing a mask? Because that's now what we are focused on. This is not about a coronavirus. This is about tyranny that has gone viral. It's about tyranny that gets more intense every day. In Washington, as they face a coronavirus spike, you saw this on Newsweek, and I spell that W-E-A-K, secret military task force prepares to secure the Capitol. Yeah, nothing to see here, right? Just, you know, continuity of government and so forth. Yeah, going back to 2017, November the 1st, 2017. And remember, it was 9 months later, August 6, 2018, that the big tech companies made their concerted move together. None dare call it a conspiracy. I mean, you know, when Tim Cook at Apple picks up the phone and calls Mark Zuckerberg and the people at Google, and all of them get together, and within a period of about 12 hours, they kicked off InfoWars off of social media everywhere. That's not a conspiracy, right? Where did that have its origins? Well, you know, November 1st, 2017, 9 months earlier, this reported by the WSWS, I think the World Socialist Workers Society or something. The socialists noticed what happened. They understood they were going to be on the side of it. And ultimately, after they took down InfoWars, 2 months later, before the election, they took down 800 other independent alternative sites off of social media, because their common thread that they had was not whether or not they supported President Trump, but whether or not they supported unending foreign wars and the police and surveillance state. And so, as they pointed out, top legal and security officials for Facebook, Twitter, and Google appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee the previous Tuesday. That would be at the end, actually, of October. In a hearing that targeted, quote, extremist content and Russian disinformation online. For 4 hours, the senators argued about foreign infiltration in the U.S. and everything. And then when everybody left, then it got interesting, because that's when Clint Watts, a former U.S. Army officer, former FBI agent, member of the Alliance for Securing Democracy, made the following apocalyptic proclamation, quote, civil wars don't start with gunshots. They start with words. America's war with itself has already begun. We must all act now on the social media battlefield to quell information rebellions that can quickly lead to violent confrontations, easily transform us into the divided states of America. Stopping the false information artillery barrage landing on social media users comes only when those outlets distributing bogus stories are silenced. Silence the guns, and the barrage will end. You see, that was our Concord in Lexington. in the 20th and 21st century. And we've now seen what happens. They were able to stop InfoWars on social media. They were able to silence the canons and confiscate the canons of speech. They were able to essentially stop the speech of the citizen militia, keep them from being able to have committees of correspondence on social media, prevent them from being able to share information. And what is the result? The result is where we find ourselves today, with this unopposed, for the most part, propaganda that has now panicked the American people into submission and fear, to surrender their liberties to a government that is the biggest threat. And I say that when I talk about the bioweapons. Look, I don't think that, I'm not going to get into, there's evidence on both sides of this. I would lean toward this being a bioweapon, but I'm not certain that it is. People will talk about the HIV implants into it and the splices in there, but then there's other people who will push back against that. Either way, whether this is a bioweapon now or not, we will have a horrendous bioweapon. They may be in the early stages of developing their bioweapons, and maybe this one is not that effective. But let me tell you, they're not in the early stages of their propaganda and social media control. We're in the final stages of that. It's not ham-fisted like the kind of stuff we saw in the 1930s, or even in, they had Edward Bernays using with Woodrow Wilson to trick everybody into World War I. It was kind of laughable how crude it was 100 years ago, their social warfare and propaganda. But now they've honed it into an exact science, and they figured out how they can silence you on social media, how they can silence independent media on social media. And it is an exact science, and that's what you need to fear. I said as we were going into this, I said, do not fear the bioweapon. Watch and see what happens with it. Fortunately, and thank God, it did not turn out to be the deadly disease that it could have been. But what is deadly and is killing our country is the shutdown and the effective propaganda behind that. So, folks, if you want to support us, if you want to keep independent media alive, take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. And we have some products there that will help you to prepare for this. As I said last week, these people who have done the shutdown, they've essentially pushed Humpty Dumpty off the wall. Will they be able to put him back together again, all the king's men, all the king's horses in the Federal Reserve? Well, the problem is it's not just one Humpty Dumpty they've pushed off. They've pushed off tens of thousands of small Humpty Dumpties. And if you want to make sure that you've got food supplies, we now are taking orders, again, for storable food. Make sure you have that covered, because we don't know yet just how much damage they have done to the food supply and supply chains. Make sure that you have products that are going to help to support your immune system, things like vitamin D3. That's now 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Welcome back as we look at the reaction over the last week. As AP puts it, U.S. governors are feeling the heat to reopen from protesters, and that's true. They began with Austin. Stores in Texas can soon begin selling merchandise with curbside service, and hospitals can resume non-essential surgeries. The things like biopsies for cancer. That's been considered to be non-essential by our masters in government who presume to know better than you. This is the arrogance of these central planners, and in that I include the Republicans, even Republicans like Governor Abbott. But we've got many people, conservatives, who say, well, that's okay. He said that these Democrat strongholds in Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, Austin, and some other surrounding communities, they can't shut down churches. We'll still let the churches show up. Just stay in your cars. You stay in your cars and keep your cars 6 feet apart, or whatever nonsense they have about that. And he's keeping gun stores open, and he's shutting down abortion clinics. So that's good. He can shut down and destroy the entire supply chain, food supply, and destroy, you know, tens of thousands of businesses and all the people that have spent their life building those businesses and the people who work for them. That's okay, you know, because he's checking the boxes. He's pro-gun, pro-church, anti-abortion. All right, we're good. We're good. Go ahead and rip up the economy. Go ahead and rip up the supply chain, Governor Abbott. Good job, Republicans. Yeah, do you think that that's a business model that Hobby Lobby or even a lot of these self-serve yogurt places, they can't stay open anymore, right? Are they going to do curbside service? How are they going to do that? How's Hobby Lobby going to do that? That just doesn't fit in the model. But, of course, those people and their livelihoods are not essential. We'll destroy their businesses and put them on welfare, say the Republicans. And they complain because the Democrats haven't cut enough checks quickly enough. Oh, that Scrooge, Nancy Pelosi. You know, she's standing there. I've got all these different welfare checks. It's universal basic income I want to institute here. And the Democrats are standing in the way. And the Democrats say, well, we want to give money out, but the Republicans don't want to give as much as we want to give. And they're competing as to who's going to turn you into a slave begging for a handout. Which team are you going to cheer for? Texas Governor Abbott will allow retailers who previously were considered to be non-essential can start providing pickup service or home delivery for customers. Things like biopsies for cancers are one example of elective procedures and surgeries that had previously been prohibited by Republican Governor Abbott. He will now graciously allow that to happen. State parks will now be open on their gates, and visitors will have to wear masks or face coverings and keep at least 6 feet away from each other in the parks. It's not that you keep 6 feet away from somebody or wear a mask, but you got to do both. And he's also named a strike force, quote unquote, to advise him on how to conduct a phased reopening of the state economy that he shut down. As a Republican, what's he going to call this strike force? Is it going to be Cobra Command? I mean, what's he going to, what a satire this has become. It really is hard to tell what's real and what isn't. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. So over the weekend, as we had InfoWars leading the push to open up, you see the article on InfoWars.com, some of the footage there, Patriots Together for You Can't Close America rally in downtown Austin, Texas. The Independent in the UK covered it. Of course, they have to always label Alex Jones as a conspiracy theorist. Is there a conspiracy here? Is it just a coincidence that everybody had to follow the model of China, that that was the only thing? I mean, it's like you either become China or everybody dies. That was a choice that everybody was given. I mean, is this a conspiracy or what? Oh, no, it just, you know, organically happened. Nobody could think of anything to do to respond to this virus other than close all of the economies down. And was that effective? No, it wasn't. The places where they're the most authoritarian, places like Italy, Spain, New York City, were the places where they had the highest number of cases. So it really wasn't effective from a pragmatic standpoint. And isn't that all we care about anymore is pragmatism? We don't really care about principles, right? As Scott Adams pointed out, he said, it's getting harder and harder to tell the freedom lovers from sociopaths. So there you go. If you love freedom, you are now a sociopath, says the Trump supporter. I retweeted, I said, it's getting harder and harder to tell the pragmatists from totalitarians because they will take everything from you. They will seek to control every aspect of your life in the name of being practical. Well, you know, shutting down the economies everywhere was not practical, was it? It didn't really help in many places. But of course, Alex is a conspiracy theorist, according to the Independent in UK. They said he addressed a small crowd. And then two paragraphs down, they say, well, hundreds gathered in Austin. So that's the small crowd, hundreds, according to them, for the You Can't Close America demonstration. And then you see that ABC, CBS, and ABC only show small crowds before and after the massive anti-lockdown protests. They can get people as they're coming into the protests and as they're leaving. And we've seen this type of thing done over and over again. ABC affiliate KVIEW showed a quick clip of the event, followed by a couple of photos showing a smaller group of the protests. They claimed that only 50 people showed up for the massive demonstration. So they say 50. The Independent says hundreds. A local CBS News affiliate claimed only several hundred. We estimate that it was over 1,500 people who showed up during the two-hour protest. Then you have the Daily Mail, which says hundreds across the country. And then they have another article at the same news site, dailymail.co.uk, saying a crowd in Texas chants fire Fauci as thousands across the country protest stay at home. So which is it? Can they make up their mind? The problem about lying about things is that you can't keep your stories straight. And that's the problem that the mainstream media has had all along. In Huntington Beach, California, about 100 demonstrators, according to Daily Mail. I don't know how many were really there. Demonstrators demanded an end to the lockdown in Orlando, Florida. Protesters held Trump banners, urged the governor to reopen Florida. In Frankfort, Kentucky, a caravan-style protest was held as motorists drove around the state capitol. Several hundred protesters gathered outside Minnesota governor's residence in St. Paul. And as this is all happening in various places, you've got, of course, the social media people trying to shut down the cannons on social media. They don't want anybody talking about this. And so as Twitter shut down many, many accounts here at InfoWars as they were organizing this protest, you have Facebook shutting down the Open New Jersey protest page so that they were promoting crime, because now free speech has become a crime. If you want to assemble and peacefully redress your grievances to a government that has unconstitutionally shut down your business, destroying your life, I mean, you shut down people's business for a month or more, that destroys their business. These people who are doing this in government, of course, have never run a business, so they wouldn't understand that. And they don't have any sympathy for that. Because, you know, if you've got a business, they built it. And if they built it, they can burn it down, right? And that's what they're doing right now. Not just the Obama people, the Trump people as well are burning it down. Burning it down. America awakens to deep state permanent martial law plan, is the way Alex put it yesterday on the InfoWars show. But we've got across the country people in New Hampshire calling for an end to the COVID-19 demonstrations. Florida beaches opened up. And within 26 minutes of them opening at 5 p.m. on Friday, you had thousands of people on the beach, and you got the liberals, the authoritarians, the totalitarians are livid. But my favorite picture of all of this is this picture from North Carolina. Navy Master Chief in full uniform after the beach reopened goes out and he plants a sign. Pull up that picture, please. He puts down a sign that says, Land of the Free. And he goes, stands in full uniform in the water, knee deep. And look at that cop waiting for him to come out to arrest him with his hands on his hip. But does that say it all? That says everything. town manager announced around 4 p.m. Thursday that the town would lift its ocean access restrictions, which have banned all but those on motorized vehicles from entering the water. And he got out there. They say, well, another photo featured a police officer watching the peaceful protest and refusing to arrest the serviceman. I don't know if he's refusing to arrest him or he just doesn't want to get his feet wet in freedom, fighting freedom. You wait for him to come out. And then they'll give him a $1,000 fine and so forth, because that seems to be the thing that's out there. And of course, as we talked about on Friday, no due process, no trial. Just give you a $1,000 fine. Well, good for that Navy Master Chief. Good for him. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, as we continue to look at the great escape that began to happen over the weekend, we get recaptured. That's what it's about, folks. You never stop. And we were told, about 100 people in California. Well, then ABC, that's the Daily Mail, then ABC News said, more than 200 protesters gathered at Huntington Beach and so forth. Again, they cannot keep their stories straight as they lie about the crowd size. And this represents only a small number of the people were really upset about it. There you go. There's a great escape. We are in a concentration camp. Thank you very much, Republicans and Democrats and White House. Thank you very much. Did a great job of that. And the Goebbels press conferences that we see on a daily basis of Fauci and Birx and President Trump standing behind them, giving them the platform, giving them the authority, pushing this narrative over and over again. In Minnesota, people there were saying, we're being held hostage. New relaxed rules. How about that? Look at that. So they put it on, then they ease it off a little bit. And Fauci has said, we're going to put it back on again come fall. You know, when weather gets cold and this flu starts again, then, you know, we've never done this before with flu, but they've always lied to us about the flu statistics because they've always estimated the number of deaths, you know, anywhere from 20 to 80,000 people a year die from the flu. It's like, well, if that's what you're telling me, you really don't know. You really don't have a clue, do you? And of course, they estimate the number of cases. And then they come up with an estimated fatality rate. And then they estimate the number of coronavirus deaths and cases and so forth. And they come up with an estimated rate of that because the deaths, and I say estimated, look at their definition of COVID-19 death. Every time you see this headline highlighted by CNN or by Drudge or anybody else that's pushing the panic button all the time, whenever you see these stats out there, whenever you see somebody holding up propaganda from the CDC, as I have seen here on Thursday with Mike Adams, who puts up CDC propaganda as if it were true. Look at this. It's the number one killer in the country. And I played the clip for you, the doctor who put his license on the line to say, oh, nobody's having heart attacks anymore. Nobody's dying of pneumonia anymore. Nobody's dying of the flu anymore. I mean, you know, we were had, 20 to 80,000 flu deaths every year, estimated by the CDC. Because I've shown you in the past where they have sent out instructions to the doctors and say, we don't have time to test all these people. We don't have the capacity to test all these people. If it looks like the flu, just call it the flu. We don't know what it is, but you know, just diagnose it as this year's flu strain that we, you know, the one that we've selected in advance. You know, they decide what the flu strain is going to be that year. And they start making vaccines for it. If it turns out to be something different, well, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter that, you know, still give everybody their shot. They have pushed that narrative. They have pushed those lies about the number of people with flu, the number of people that die with flu, forever to try to push you into getting vaccines. Problem was, a lot of people weren't doing it. That was a problem for them. So then they came up with something, a novel idea. A novel coronavirus, because, you know, the flu and the cold is a coronavirus. All these are coronaviruses. So they came up with a novel idea, a novel coronavirus to scare everybody to death so they could force you to take a vaccine. And the numbers are still estimated. So it's estimated versus divided, you know, estimated numerator divided by estimated denominator to get whatever numbers we want so we can scare you into this. But, you know, by all means, let's hold up their statistics showing that it's the number one killer. Let's hold up their statistics showing that 40,000 people, and we have presumed that they have died from COVID-19. And, yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, you test positive for COVID-19, you drive down the road, you die in a car accident, you died from COVID-19. You didn't necessarily have to die from it. If you die with it, that's the underlying cause. And, oh, by the way, we don't even need to test to see if you are dying with it. We'll just presume that you have it and then count that as a death.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I want to quickly run down some more of the great escape that we have here. Again, we're being held hostage, said many in Minnesota. Those who could not join in person did so digitally through the hashtag Reopen Minnesota. They said that they were being held hostage. They call this a dictatorship. RT says, well, while the parallels between Minnesota's stay-at-home directive and totalitarian rule may be somewhat exaggerated, it does have some teeth. They threatened 90 days in jail and a $1,000 fine for disregarding their dictates. So that's it. That's what it is, really. They call it rules in the RT story, but it's dictates. What is the definition of a dictator? You know, if you take dictation, right, you're writing down what somebody is saying. If somebody's making up the rules and the rules are coming out of their mouth, that is by definition what a dictator is. It's to say that we no longer have a system of rules. We no longer have a constitution that is the king of the country that you swear to abide by as a temporary steward. No, you become the ruler. You throw the constitution off the throne. And the law is now in your mouth. It's not in the constitution. And you don't have to have any stinking badges, right? Badges? We don't need no stinking badges. You just do what I say because I have the guns, right? As Mao said, the power comes out of the barrel of a gun. And so it's not just that they're talking about doing that. That's actually, and they got, that's just where they start. $1,000 fine, 90 days in jail. You can get up to 1 year's jail time and a $3,000 penalty if you're a business owner. Yeah, there you go. Go ahead and play it. For the people that I just watched that again, Treasure of Sierra Madre. We do that with my family every once in a while. That's a great film. You guys got the audio of that? Go ahead and run it. Okay, no sound. Okay. Well, the possibility of another $25,000. So $3,000 for business owners, those uppity business owners, they didn't build that business. They have no right to open that business. I will tell them if they were essential. I will tell them if they can open it. And if they violate that, $3,000. So the possibility of another $25,000 in fines. If officials deem it necessary, if they deem it necessary. Oh, this is not a dictatorship, is it? No, not at all. No, not at all. We have a due process. We're going to have trials, right? And the presumption of innocence. They can't just assess these fines. No, as we pointed out on Friday with Richard Proctor, this is dictatorial maritime law. At least 25 state residents have been charged with violations of that order. And then they said, well, it wasn't without people pushing back. You had one demonstrator showing up, and they always like to highlight this, right? Okay, well, we've got 1,000 people out here, but look at this. We've got one person as a counter-demonstrator that agrees with us here in the press. One was wearing a coronavirus helmet, and another one held a large sign reading, Nurses' Lives Matter. I guess this is the only time a nurse has ever been in contact with an infectious disease, right? Did they not tell her in medical school that they would be in contact with infectious diseases? Is this something new? Maybe you shouldn't be a nurse then. I don't know. Same thing happened in Colorado. Defiant healthcare workers clash with anti-lockdown protesters in Colorado. Nurses clash with anti-lockdown protesters Sunday in Colorado. It was, again, another Operation Gridlock. We saw this first in Michigan against Whitmer. They did it again in Denver. They said that hundreds of protesters ignored social distancing guidelines to huddle together on the lawn of the state capitol. What a horror. Can you imagine that? Americans not wearing a mask? Americans not standing 6 feet apart? And doing so on the very lawn of the seat of power? Oh, man, I tell you what, this is just... this is horrific, isn't it? The protesters' efforts were met with resistance. A group of healthcare workers stood in the street to counter-protest the calls for reopening, silently obstructing cars as they drove toward the Capitol. Other demonstrations were held in Tennessee, Oregon, Illinois, California, Montana, Washington State, and so forth. I just have to say this about the medical workers. Look, it's the career you chose. I appreciate you doing a good job, but you chose this career. Somebody should have explained to you how infectious diseases work. And you have a choice not to do that. But you do not have a choice to dictate to us what to do. We're not going to live under doctor's orders. It isn't going to happen. You don't get to override the rule of law here. And when I look at some of these public health officials and even some of these nurses, I am reminded of the fact that, you know, we have more firefighters who are arsonists than anything else, more arsonists who are firefighters than anything else. We have a lot of firefighters who put their lives on the line and are true heroes to protect the lives of many other people. But it is pretty amazing to find how many arsonists turn out to be firefighters because they wanted to set that fire to become heroes. And I'm telling you, these people are out there wanting to burn the country down so they can be heroes. I just cannot support that. Because you see, the choice is not to let everybody die. The issue, there you are. They're so busy. That's where they're handling the pandemic right there. The problem is, and here's a good example of it, Cape Town, South Africa. They've now got riots because of food shortages. They've got authorities that are instituting some of the world's strictest lockdown rules. See, the problem is nurses, doctors, bureaucrats. The problem is that it isn't a choice between lockdown of the economy and everybody dying. You are killing people with your lockdown. You are destroying lives, and you're going to kill people with food shortages, with medicine shortages, because you are now operating outside of an area that you understand anything about. You're now trying to centrally control the economy and people's activities, and you don't understand where the food and the medicine comes from, and you don't understand how you're destroying that. In Cape Town, South Africa, the people... leaders there said, Mr. President, we are in the middle of a food crisis. It's a war out here. People have broken into shops. They've attacked people. The simple reason is because they're hungry. And I've got to say to these nurses and doctors who think that they are God, why don't you walk into a Walmart or any kind of grocery store and look at the empty shelves? That's what you have done with your boneheaded policies, your dictatorial mandates to shut down. That doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help you. When you starve us to death, when you destroy lives economically, you create suicide and other depression. Food shortages in South Africa are prompting rioting and looting across some of the most deprived sections of the city. In Berlin, we have hundreds of people, 300 or so, as they say, and who knows what the actual count is. In Germany's capital, Berlin, many people, roll the B-roll here, we got video clip number 7. Many people did not abide by social distancing rules, such as wearing masks, staying 6 feet apart from one another. And they were countered by armed police, dozens of them. Tomorrow we have a rally in downtown Raleigh, North Carolina. Reopen NC rally is planned for Tuesday. The governor in North Carolina, Governor Roy Cooper, has been served with, quote, intent to sue papers from that same group, Reopen North Carolina Facebook group. Will they be allowed to continue to organize? I hope so. But, I mean, we have seen Facebook, Twitter shutting down these groups left and right. But, again, that's going to be organized in Raleigh at the state capitol. It's going to be, let's see, now this is saying April the 24th. Is when that's going to happen. So one article here says it's planned for Tuesday. Maybe they're going to have two different rallies that are happening there. But as we pointed out in Michigan and elsewhere, you do have multiple sheriffs that are also standing against lockdown. We need to have people like these sheriffs. We need to have people like that Navy officer standing in the sea, standing in the ocean, as he's being threatened by a cop who obviously doesn't take his oath to the Constitution or the idea that America is a free country very seriously. This is a dividing point. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the masquerade ball that is now happening across the country and how this has become something of a political dividing line. Because, folks, it is about politics. It's not about medicine. And I'll explain to you why the masks have absolutely nothing to do with this. You might have caught on to that already. Many people on Twitter did. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Well, the bureaucrats are having a ball. They're enjoying their little power trips, and it's now become a masquerade ball. They insist that we wear face coverings. It doesn't really matter whether they are effective or not. It's a sign of submission. Here's an example. In DeKalb County, Alabama, a family without a face covering was denied entry into a storm shelter as the tornadoes were approaching. Severe storms produced tornadoes, made its way through Boaz and route to DeKalb County. Residents made their way to nearby storm shelters. Only not all the families were allowed inside, reports WHNT. out of Alabama, one Crossville family who would like to stay anonymous. Why do they need to stay anonymous? Well, they are now bioterrorists. You know, that's the way de Blasio treats them, and that's the way the media treats them, and that's the way many others treat you as well. If you don't wear your sign of submission, your cone of shame, your mask of shame, you are bioterrorists. You did not wear the mask. Anyway, they want to stay anonymous. They said they don't want to cause trouble in their small town. Well, they don't want to get trouble rained down on them by these snitches, by the groupthink, you know, by the people who have already been taken over by the invasion of the body snatchers. They were denied entry into the storm shelter because they didn't have enough face masks. The recommendation is not a law. That's right. It is not a law. Not a law. Each county and each city has made their own decisions. Some shelters are not open at all. Others are requiring a mask. It is the new yellow star, folks. If you don't have the yellow star, you go back into your little ghetto of all those unvaxxed and unclean lepers. The guy actually opened the door. He motioned, "Do you have a mask?" And I held up my mask. I said, "I have one mask and I can put it on the child." He motioned, "No." And he shut the door in their face. They had a tornado over the town. She said, "My family ran to their car. Actually, twice we were trying to get somewhere. We nearly wrecked. I just wanted to scream all the way home. I had to keep it together, you know," said the woman. She claims the shelter was not full. She could have maintained a 6-foot distance away from other people in the shelter. The mayor of Crossville, Tara Fortenberry, had posted on Facebook, "The storm shelter will open Sunday, April 12th at 11 a.m. Everyone has to wear a mask to be allowed to enter. Homemade masks, medical masks, or even a bandana tied to cover your nose and mouth is acceptable." And we'll talk about that. But the woman who was denied entry did not see the social media post. She doesn't hang out on Facebook, unfortunately. Could have cost her life with that inflexibility. A site here which may be, it's kind of hard to tell whether this is satire or whether this is real world. I mean, there's real quotes here. From some officials, but then there's some that appear to be satire. CDC official says no place safer than waiting in line to get into Costco. So the reality is that the real world has become a bizarre satire. It's so hard to tell the real world from the Babylon Bee. The reality, however, is that many businesses like Costco have policies that limit the number of people who can be inside at one time. And it causes a problem. It queues people up in very long lines outside. And, you know, it's kind of like what we've seen with the TSA, because it is the same type of mentality, of course, right? You have to feel safe. It doesn't matter if the policies make you safer. Many security experts have pointed out that with the TSA bunching people up into lines, that provides the most effective target that anybody can have if they want to set off a bomb. And, of course, that has happened to churches that follow that same kind of TSA, quote-unquote, security. When they have metal detectors and screenings, so forth, and people queue up and bunch up to get into the churches because they don't want somebody coming into the church building and the congregation with a bomb, then the Islamic terrorists will go to those bunched up crowds and they will set off their suicide bomb there. But as one person that they quote here, I don't know if it's a regular here, who waited more than 4 hours in a line of over 300 people, said, "I've never seen anything like it. There's hundreds of people out here in a line close together, while 10 people are inside at any one time. I feel like they're keeping it safe inside at the expense of rounding people up in a contained area outside." Well, you know, the reality of this is that this may be a satire where they quote a CDC official saying, "We understand the public concern over waiting in line, but let me assure you, there is no safer place than waiting in line to get into Costco." My wife had this experience. It was not a satire. It was asinine, however. This is from theasinine.com. It's a satire site. And she had been there a week before. And, you know, they want to have only a certain number of people in the store at any given time. And you were to stand outside. And now they're at the point where even while you're standing outside waiting to get into the store, you're supposed to put your mask on now. And my wife did not do it. And so the first week she was there, you had the woman with a sandwich sign with all the dictates from our local grand poobah here, the dictator here in Austin. And she walks up to my wife, who was standing in line, the only one that didn't have a mask on, and stopped and said, we thank everybody for wearing your mask in accordance to the Austin rules and so forth, and didn't, you know, just for her benefit. This week, however, she directly confronted her, said, "You must put on your mask." My wife said, "I'll put it on when I go inside the store." "No, you have to put it on now. It's the law." "Oh, no, it's not the law. It is not the law. It's your order. I don't take orders from people who work at Costco or even from the police or the mayor. I don't take orders from anybody. Neither does my wife." One person wrote to me on Twitter, said, "I have refused to wear a mask in San Diego. Went to my favorite meat market. Was refused entry at the door today. I was livid. I work in law enforcement. It is not illegal to not wear one. They've lost my business for sure." And I talked about what happened as we tried to go into a store later that night. Same thing happened to us again. Another person wrote to me, said, "I pull up this picture of the mask that they're handing out at Target in Pflugerville, Texas." This is outside of Austin. "I went to a Target in Pflugerville, and they tried to make me wear this mask. Look at that mask. This is a Kleenex with staples and hairbands. It was handed to me by a worker at the front door. I was then followed around the store by security as they tried to make me wear it. I ignored them, and when they confronted me again at the self-checkout, I pretended I was deaf and couldn't hear them." See, this is what's happening. As time goes on, the people who work for these stores, they see themselves in a position of authority. They see themselves as the enforcers of these non-laws. And just like you've seen with the airports, it tends to turn people who work for the airplanes into petty little dictators. And that's what's happening now everywhere. And of course, if you think that this is something that's going to help, look at that picture again. A Kleenex stapled with hairbands for you to wear. And it's ripped already when they hand it to them. What a load of nonsense. So one person, as I got into this thing on Friday or Saturday, one person said, "So what's so bad about wearing a mask until we have a better understanding of this virus?" They replied to me on Twitter, Libertarian. That's where you can find these discussions. "You could have the virus with no symptoms and spread it to others and kill them. Don't be so effing selfish. We don't care if you don't care about getting yourself sick. No, I'm not a Democrat." And I said, "Well, you say that I need a better understanding of this virus, so ask why these medical geniuses like Fauci and Birx and the rest of them didn't think of this at the very beginning. Many of them said that it wasn't effective. Remember that? They had the debate going back and forth. Some of them said, well, we don't have enough N95 masks, so don't wear one for that. Now, any covering will do, right? And then ask yourself why they're doing this incrementally. But here's the bottom line. My health is not your business. I'm not a cow in a herd. And Eric Peters is going to be joining us to show you his cattle ear tag.
Liberty, it's your move. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Eric Peters, epautos.com. Eric, it's been a long time since we've talked. Last time we talked, America had not yet turned into an idiocracy, but it seems like that's what we've turned into
now.
Well,
it's worse than an idiocracy. It's a kind of state of fear psychosis. It seems as though at least half the country now is in the grips of an absolute deranged mania of fear. And it reminds me of what happened 20 years ago after the quote-unquote enemies of freedom struck, and people were willing to accept anything on the basis of this deranged fear of ululating Islamic terrorists. Well, now,
that's right.
Now we've got this phantom bug that's going to kill us all, and so as a result of that, we've got to give up our lives to the government.
And what the CDC has done is they've turned the entire country into becoming OCD. The entire country is obsessive compulsive. I'm washing my hands. I mean, I saw a video of one guy. Mm-hmm. I think it was a satire. I didn't watch the whole thing. But he comes in from the grocery store, and he's got his mask on, his rubber gloves, and he sets the bag down. He takes off his gloves and starts washing his hand. Then he takes the first thing out, and it's a box. He looks at it and goes, oh, and he sets that down. He starts washing his hands again. I can see where this comedy routine is going to go, right?
Well,
it is obsessive compulsive behavior, and they've got this going with everybody.
Well, you remember, we've talked about security theater, you know, after the high holy holiday of 9/11. Now we've got health theater, and we've got the props of this health kabuki with the masks, with the social distancing and with the tape and the cattle shooting now when you go to shop. And by the way, I wonder if it has occurred to anybody, this business of having taped lines and stand here, don't go there. You know where else you see that?
Where's that?
When you get booked, when you get arrested, and when you go to prison.
That's right. Yeah, it is an open-air gulag, right? Yeah. Actually, house arrest and a gulag when you go out. That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. That's what this has turned into. It's a police state. And it's not. There's not really anything funny about this, and we know what they did after 9/11, and we know what's coming with this, too.
Yeah, it's health fascism. You know, previously it was done on the basis of security. Now it's health fascism with, instead of the blue shirts, it's going to be the white shirts, or the white coats, I should say. Doctors are now going to become our overlords for our health instead of for our safety.
Yeah, you know, I was just telling the guys and the crew here, I've shown many times. There we go. There it is right there. I've got a screen here. In California, they had a literal parade of officials in white coats walk across the stage and then stand 6 feet apart with their hands crossed in front of them, wearing their white coats as the governor was announced. That is their authority to control your life,
right?
Men in white coats. And quite frankly, it's looking more and more like one flew over the cuckoo's nest. It's medication time, isn't it?
That's right. And when you dare to object or question what these white coats say, then you're pathologized as ill. Because after all, these experts know best. You can't question them. And now they're going to use the authority and the force of the government to compel you to obey their health dictates. And it's going to transcend and go far beyond this corona business. If they can force us to get vaccinated for corona, for example, why can't they force us to get vaccinated for practically anything?
Well, yeah, and that's what we have seen over the last several years, and it's been escalating. You know, first, you had the CDC estimating very high numbers and a really, really broad range of deaths from flu. Somewhere between 20,000 and 80,000 every year dying from flu. And it's like, are you kidding me? Then you obviously don't have any clue as to what that number is. And then they estimate the number of people get it. They come up with some kind of a cooked fatality rate. And then they try to browbeat everybody into getting a flu vaccine. Since that wasn't working, now they've got another approach to take with all of this.
Yep.
But it's also, we saw it ramp up where you're not going to, just in the last year, we had New York, then California say, you're not going to be able to go to school if you don't get the MMR vaccine. That's when it became real authoritarian. And then it got from the point where, you know, we were no longer being lectured by doctors. By the way, you and I grew up when we had doctors telling us which cigarette brand was healthier than another cigarette brand, right? So don't talk to me about doctors being authorities on health. You know, there's great doctors out there, but they're not all so great.
Well, and what about this business? Isn't it incredible that anybody is taking seriously the numbers proffered by the government, the same government that told us about the weapons of mass destruction the mushroom clouds. And just in the last several weeks, we've had this very same government go from, 2.5 to 3 million deaths to 250,000 deaths, and now it's 60,000. And we still listen to these people?
Yeah. Their statistics are weapons of mass destruction.
Exactly.
And this same organization, the NIH that Fauci's at, they're the ones who are funding bioweapon research, gain-of-function research, where they bring in or create things that are very deadly, or they'll bring in a bacteria and they'll make it more easily spread and more deadly. That's called gain-of-function research. And they do that even after they were told don't fund that. They continue to do it at the NIH. And they even gave $3.7 million to that lab in Wuhan. I mean, these are the people who are now telling us that they're looking after our health again. You know, this is the kind of stuff that we saw with the doctors and the cigarette commercials and with the doctors prescribing opioids to create an opioid epidemic.
Yeah. And fundamentally, just as it is not the business of the government in a free society to keep us safe, it is not the business of the government in a free society to keep us healthy. That's up to us. The business of government is to protect our rights. And what it's doing right now is trampling all over our rights.
The next thing that's going to happen, I imagine if they ever let us out and if they ever let us take off our masks so that we can breathe enough to do exercise, they'll probably all have us lined up like you see in China, you know, doing calisthenics on the lawn.
Well, I'll tell you, for my part, I'm willing to risk whatever the consequences are to ignore, as I have been now for weeks, Governor Kuhnman's order that I stay home and I will not wear a mask. And that's the least that I can do. And if I'm not willing to take that risk, then I'm unworthy of being a free man.
Well, you know, here's the thing. We got the same situation here in Austin, and my wife and I haven't done it. And I've got a convertible, and I make a point of driving around because none of the stores will let me in. So I drive around with the top down and no mask. OK, but here's what's happening, Eric. You've got these officious little business, you know, because these businesses are essential and they want to stay in the good graces of the government dictators. I call them corona capitalists, or they're like crony capitalists.
Yes.
They have taken on the role of law enforcement for these little bureaucrats, and they kick you out of the stores.
Sure, but it's up to us. We still have the economic power to shun those businesses that do that.
I will remember who kicked me out when everything goes back.
That's right. And this morning I wrote a letter, and I published this on my website, an open letter to a small business, specifically directed at the gym where I go to lift. I know the owner there. And I suggested that she consider opening her businesses and damn the consequences, because she's already facing economic ruin.
That's right.
So
that's
why not go for it? And let's have the visual of armed government workers stormtroopering down on a bunch of people who are just trying to exercise at a gym.
Yes, that's right. You're absolutely right. They've got nothing to lose because they're going to be out of business. My wife and I have talked about this on the air. My wife and I had small business. We had multiple retail locations. I couldn't have gone for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, even longer than that. And As Gallup has gone out and polled business owners, they found that just under 50% of them said that they're going to be out of business completely, will never be able to reopen, because these loans have to be paid back for the most part. And they're not enough. You know, if you follow some of the rules, they will forgive the loans eventually, but it's not enough to keep people going.
So
they're going to be out of business if this continues. And so, of course, Bill Gates and the elitists say, well, we need to extend it even further because we don't want to have anybody left in the middle class. This is Marxism, eradication of the middle class.
What I call it, the corporatization of business. What they want to do is eradicate the independent small businessman and the self-employed person so that everybody is forced to work in the company town for some gigantic corporation where you have to keep your head down and wear your mask and do what you're told, because that's the only way that you can earn a livelihood anymore.
That's absolutely right. The really sad thing about this, too, is that I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying, okay, well, that's fine. You know, President Trump's going to kick in, or the governors are going to kick in, or the protesters are going to start this thing back up. I hope it does start back up. But and we'll talk about this some when we come back, as well as some of the other things that are happening there in Virginia. But, you know, I'm very concerned, Eric. I read, went back and revisited iPencil by Leonard Reed, because, you know, the marketplace is a lot more complex than these central planning bureaucrats realize. And they may have broken things that aren't going to come back in line. We already had a massive bubble that they created from the Great Recession. And we could head into hyperinflation or depression. We'll be right back with Eric Peters, epautos.com. Stay with us.
Politicians say more taxes will solve everything.
And the band played on.
Welcome back. Let's talk with Eric Peters a little bit about the sign of submission that is now being put on everybody. And, of course, that is the mask. And, Eric, before you came on, I showed a picture and shared an email that a listener sent to me here in Texas, in Pflugerville, a little bit outside of Austin. They had a Target store. And I know you don't have the video feed there, but I'll just describe it for you. They were handing people out, if you didn't have your mask with you, they were handing out a Kleenex that was stapled over to hold hair rubber bands on either side that would stretch back to go over your ears. And, of course, it was obviously ripped because it doesn't have even the tensile strength to do that. But they got very upset about this person, and they followed him around the store, security did, and hectored this person all the way through checkout because now the employees have become the little enforcers. It's kind of this East German thing, but you've got a novel approach that you have adopted there.
A novel,
tell the
just
audience
like
about that. What's that?
A novel, just like Corona.
Yeah, exactly.
I try to use their own words to mock them, because mocking actually is a very powerful tool to ridicule tyranny.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us about your mocking tool that you have there.
And you've got since essentially we're being treated like cattle, literally being treated like cattle. We're being shooted down the aisle to be allowed to buy groceries. And if Bill Gates and these other people get their way, we're going to be forcibly vaccinated just like a cow and tracked just like a cow. So I figured, why not be a little preemptive and go ahead and put on my very own cattle ear tag. So I made one up, and I put a number on it, bright yellow piece of cardboard stock paper, and clipped it to my ear, and I've been walking around with my Corona cattle tag. To make the point, I think I'm trying, using humor, to get people to think about where things are headed and also to express my contempt for what's going on. And I've experienced actually a very interesting result. I've found that the Corona cattle, the real cows, who are wearing their masks and stoop-shouldered and suspiciously slouching around, terrified of everything, won't even make eye contact with me. Whereas the people who aren't wearing the masks, who aren't afflicted by fear, psychosis, give me the thumbs up, they laugh, they love it. So I encourage other people to go out and make an ear tag. I'll show them how if they need some instructions. I've got something on the site to show them how to do it. Just shoot me an email, and I will happily help. And maybe we can get a herd of Corona cattle to go out and make the point.
Yeah, and why not? Because, you know, you got all these people that are busy doing homemade masks, which I look at this and it's like, oh, wait a minute. You know, I remember, it seems like eternity, but it was only about a month and a half ago that there was this big debate with the health bureaucrats as to whether or not we should wear masks,
sure.
Right? Oh,
sure.
They're not effective, or, oh, yes, they are effective, but we need them for our medical people and everything. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about N95 masks, and now you can put a bandana on, or you can make your own at home, just like you can make your own ear tag, and that's supposed to be effective.
Theater. It's a prop to create this environment of crisis and fear to keep people stupefied by fear and thus ready to submit to anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's what the TSA has done all that.
Sure.
We talk about it
to
being a security
people.
Theater.
To demoralize people. And also, this is another interesting aspect of these masks and the social distancing. It's to alienate us from one another. As mammals, as high mammals, we like to read people's faces. When you walk into a room and see some new people, you look at their faces to get a read on the other people.
Mm-hmm.
When people wear masks, you can't get a read on what that person might be up to, or whether that's a friend or a foe. And it's psychologically very damaging to create this kind of environment where everybody is suspicious and fearful of everyone else.
I've made that point. I said it's not only house arrest, but it is solitary confinement. We've had now a couple of different officials say we may come in and forcefully remove somebody from home if we know that somebody in there has it. We'll remove other people there. We've had a child removed from a mother after a messy divorce because the ex-spouse said she works at a hospital, so she's exposed to coronavirus, and the judge says, oh, yeah, that's right, there's no vaccine, so take the kid from the mother who works in the hospital. And this is, and then finally, I'll say one more thing, get your comment. We're even told now, you could get this from your dog, so don't even have any pets. You know, they want us to have artificial robo-dogs, artificial sex dolls, and so forth, and be isolated
from us. Let's, as a thought experiment, postulate the following. There are a lot of rapes that occur in this country, and every functional man is at least theoretically capable of committing a rape, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we insist that every functional man wear a codpiece with a lock that the government has the key to?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, don't give them any ideas. Come on.
I mean, that's coming. That's how farcical and tyrannical it's becoming.
Well, you know, we know, you and I know, that a big part of this plan has been to take away our ability to travel independently. That's
certainly
part of the smart city agenda, and that's really what's being enacted now. And it came in very, very quickly.
Yep.
I was just, like I wrote to someone who sent me an email. It just broke my heart to see what she had to say, how she was being treated at work, and how she was worried about where things were going. And I thought about it, and I told her, you know, I always knew where they were going. I just didn't know how they were going to do it or exactly when they were going to do it. And I would have never thought that the American people would let them do it this quickly. But we know where this is headed with the cars, for example.
Sure.
And I'm looking at the data here in Texas. I went back and got the daily death toll on Texas roads for the last 19 years. To give you an idea, the national average is 11.2 deaths per 100,000 people in a given year. In 2018 in Texas, that number was 12.7 per 100,000. With the coronavirus, we have had 1.6 per 100,000, and we've locked down the entire state. This is a Republican governor here, locked down the entire state. What, you know, that they're going to use this to take away cars. I mean, they've already got their plan out there for zero highway deaths.
Yeah, right? Well, let's use some critical thinking again. What's the number? I'd like somebody to give me the number. What is the minimum threshold for locking down the country? Is it 30,000? Is it 20,000? Is it 5?
Exactly.
What's the number? In my article that I posted on the site this morning, I pointed out, just as you've pointed out, that roughly about 35,000 to 40,000 people die each year in motor vehicle accidents in this country. We don't lock down the country for that.
Right.
There are something on the order of 250,000 deaths that occur annually in this country due to medical malpractice, misdiagnosis, and catching things like MRSA and SARS if you go to a hospital. Why don't we lock down the hospitals?
Yeah, yeah. And they don't talk about how many people die from prescription drugs or from medical mistakes, because and that puts that's one of the leading causes of death at that point in time. But, you know, when Dr. Phil talks about it and he talks about the number of drownings in swimming pools and he gets it off, instead of 3,600, he says 360,000. I don't know if he got the numbers confused or if he misspoke or whatever. He is vilified. I've been saying this. You've been saying this from the very beginning. It's like, come on, folks, let's not talk about one person dying here and give their story in detail. Yes, it is a tragedy.
Yes.
But we don't do that with anything else. And we don't remove any other death from the context of what's happening here.
Well,
and if we look at the average number age of the people who are dying here, the majority of them are over the life expectancy here in the United States.
Right. Well, and anybody's death is a tragedy. But what's an atrocity is willfully cratering the lives of tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of people on the basis that someone might get sick and might die.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Quarantining sick people is one thing, but locking up healthy people is another. And the really concerning thing about this are the various tests. I mean, they got the PCR test now, which is giving a lot of false negatives and false positives. It's all over the place.
Yeah, well, the CDC,
but that's going to be used to identify you and make you a suspect, a biological suspect terrorist.
Well, and it's amazing to me that people aren't angered by the fact that the CDC is openly being disingenuous about these numbers, admitting that anybody who dies with the virus is counted as somebody who died of the virus.
That's right. That's right. And then they went even further. They said, we're going to say, we're going to count people even without testing. In other words, we don't even know if they died with the virus. We're going to presume that they had the virus.
An
and that's one of the reasons why you've seen their
cooked in a nursing home from old age is listed as a corona victim.
That's right. That's right. And by doing that, they've been able to inflate the statistics by redefining what a COVID death is. They've been able to inflate the statistics, so it's now the number one cause of death. As it was, one doctor was saying, you mean nobody's dying of heart attacks?
Right.
Flu and pneumonia now? Because those have all nosedived. Ron Paul has pointed that out.
Yeah, the degree of despicability here, that's a word, is astounding. I caught the media in several instances of outright lying, one of the most infamous examples being the CBS report, in the most dire terms imaginable, of what was purported to be a scene of an American hospital, and it turned out that it was images of an Italian hospital. Now, it's illegal for me or for you to go into a fire, go into a theater and screech fire because of the panic and danger to people that will trigger. How come these people who make these false reports aren't similarly arrested or at least punished in some way for their egregious fear peddling?
Well, I think despicability is a term that applies here. I think Sylvester would use that.
Yeah.
It definitely applies. Thank you so much, Eric Peters, epautos.com. And yeah, it is a question of freedom, folks, first and foremost. If you don't have freedom, life is not worth living. But make sure that you are, as we see the system being broken, go to InfoWarsStore.com. We now are able to take orders for food, but we don't know what's going to be coming up in the future as they have broken the food production and distribution lines. Take a look at InfoWarsStore.com. We also have vitamin D, winter sun, 50% off, InfoWarsStore.com.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I was just talking to Eric Peters, and we know where this is going to go. They're going to use the same type of approach for cars, for guns, for everything, because they've been using that. They've been using it for vaccines. They've been using it for MMR. They tried to gaslight everybody with their hyped up statistics that were all over the place. The numbers were all over the place. Big range of people who had it, people who had presumed to die from the regular flu. Now they're playing the same game, except they're estimating these people that they used to estimate with regular flu. Now they're moving them over into the COVID-19 category, or people who are dying with heart attack. Well, if you died with it, or even if we haven't tested and we don't know that you died with COVID-19, we're going to presume that you did, you know, because you had a heart attack. Folks, if I die of a heart attack, don't let them put me in the COVID-19 category, okay? Because they're going to go back You know, one of the tests is PCR tests, not very accurate. They're getting a lot of false positives, a lot of false negatives, and so forth. But they've also got other types of tests that take a look at the antibodies. And so people who may have had a coronavirus and their immune system handled it okay, and they never had any symptoms, because about half the people don't even have any symptoms, or very, very mild, if any. And so if they find antibodies there, now you become something of a pariah, a leper. You must be tracked. You must be vaccinated in order to be let out of the house and so forth. This is very dangerous, how this is going to be used, because now Fauci has free rein to do whatever he wants. Fauci and Birx, these people. And if you push back against this, as Dr. Phil did, you get vilified. I'm looking at this article here from Boston.com. Listen to this headline. Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz aren't coronavirus experts. So why are they talking about it on TV? Well, let me ask the same question. I did ask this question about Bill Gates. I said, you know, he's not an epidemiologist. Bill Gates is not a doctor. Bill Gates doesn't have any medical training. So why is he the authority? Why is he being given long, detailed interviews on television everywhere to pontificate about not only what should be done, but these very draconian, Orwellian measures that Bill Gates wants to push people? They don't say that about Bill Gates, do they? I mean, I said that, but you're not going to see mainstream media saying that about Bill Gates. They'll say that about anybody who pushes back against Bill Gates's agenda, and the people who work for Bill Gates, Fauci and others, who are funded by him, the World Health Organization and so forth. This is absolutely amazing. But again, this is not science, folks. This is a con game. And it's a confidence game. You have confidence in people because of their credentials. You don't want to think for yourself because there's somebody with credentials telling you something. That is how a con game runs. They get your confidence, and they abuse that kind of confidence. Or this one here from AP News. Some people turn to herbal medicine for virus without proof. Well, what proof do they have of virtually any of the products that they sell? They do have proof that it harms people, but then they give that a waiver, right? As long as the FDA signs off on it, it doesn't matter if they know that a certain percentage of people are going to have very bad reactions to this. Everybody treats it as a pass-fail. If the FDA signed off on it, we don't have to worry about the element of risk. So if it's a 1% chance that you're going to have an adverse reaction to it, or if it's a 40% chance, it doesn't matter to most people. All they know or care about is that the FDA authorized it. They don't want to look at the actual statistics or risk factors there. And that's precisely the kind of approach these people take. I'm an authority. Don't worry about the risk. You need to panic because one person died from this. Now, when we talk about one person dying instantly from a vaccine, what do we hear from them? That's just one person dying. You can't say that. You're divorcing that out of the context of how many people have taken this vaccine. But then when they want to get you to shut down the entire economy, they go just the opposite direction, don't they? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, as we look at this, and the idea that Fauci has floated out there, well, we're going to keep this stuff on and these controls on until not a single case of COVID-19. Notice he didn't say till not a single death from COVID-19. He said until not a single case. And, of course, we know that this is what people want to do who want to eradicate your individual transportation, because they don't want you to have any freedom. They want to control every aspect of your life. And they will come up with any kind of an excuse that they can. They will play the authority card. And I'll remind you again, Francis Bacon, when he laid out the four tenets of the scientific method, you know, one of them was to say that you're not going to rely on something being truthful simply because somebody in authority says so. You need to validate that. And I've talked many times about how the guy who was the foremost most highly respected scientist of his day in America, how he was, nobody had more credentials than he did or presided over more scientific institutions than did Langley. You know, he was there at the Smithsonian Institute, a premier scientist and so forth, but he could not get his flying machines off the ground. He was beaten by a couple of bicycle repairmen who had been homeschooled. Why? Because Langley was relying on lift tables that were incorrect. But because of his bias towards authority figures, because of his bias towards highly respected institutions like Harvard and Yale and so forth, because of those types of prejudices in Langley's life, he was going to continue to rely on those lift tables even though they were wrong. The Wright brothers had no such prejudice to authority. They created their own lift tables with their own experiments, and that's why they were able to get their flying machine to work. We see this over and over again. But understand that the same type of attitude that if there is a single coronavirus case, let alone a death, a single case, you will not get out from underneath the thumb of Fauci as long as President Trump leaves him in charge. And President Trump has put him in charge. Understand that as much as we hate Fauci, and as much of a fraud as he is, hashtag Fauci fraud is trending, has been trending for a while. There's another hashtag, fire Fauci. Well, who would it be that would fire Fauci? Well, of course, that would be President Trump. And if President Trump does not fire Fauci, he is holding him up in a position of authority and letting him do this to us, because everybody, all these little bureaucrats all the way down the list say, well, I have an order here, and it comes from the president, and it comes from the CDC, and it comes from the governor, and it comes from my little mayor here. That's the chain of authority that they see. You can say that it's just a recommendation. You can say it's just a guideline, but everybody understands that it is a de facto executive order, and the executive that's giving the executive orders is not the president. It's Fauci, because President Trump has allowed him to become the executive. And so how's this going to look, as we pointed out with Eric Peters? They're going to use the same type of logic and already talking about doing it to ban cars. It's the same type of attitude they have towards gun control. You know, we have a few people killed, so we got to take the guns away from everybody, right? And you've had, as Dr. Phil came out and he says, well, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have compared the coronavirus to smoking, tobacco, or automobile accidents and the death rates that we have from that. Well, no, you should, because you've got doctors out there who are calling gun violence, as they say, and that's a nebulous term in and of itself. It's as nebulous as coronavirus deaths. Gun violence is that nebulous. We don't know if people that get killed by a gun are people that should be killed by a gun because they were the aggressor, they were threatening somebody's life and it was a defensive issue, or maybe they were put down by the police in a justified way, or maybe they were put down by the police in an unjustified way, or maybe somebody was killed in a drive-by shooting. We don't have any indication in those figures as to what was a justified self-defense action. You know, was the death an action of defense, or was it an offensive crime? We don't know from that, just like we don't know from these statistics about COVID deaths, whether that was really the underlying cause, or now, even if it was even present, that has now even been changed. But nevertheless, they want to have zero deaths everywhere. You know, the fire inspectors want to make sure that every building is fireproof. If you let them go with their instincts and you don't temper it with any kind of self-control, you will never build another building again. And if nobody can die on the highways, you'll never have another car again. And if nobody can die of a virus, you'll never have a life again. You know, when you look at these stories talking about the fatality rate on Texas highways, which is slightly higher than the national average, and it's the highest, the national average when this story was written, December 27th, 2019, so, you know, it's the most recent data they had. The national average was 11.2 per 100,000 people. In Texas, it was 12.7 per 100,000 people. Now, when they look at it, they say the three most prevalent factors cited by the Texas Department of Transportation, of course, would have absolutely nothing to do with any culpability from the Texas Department of Transportation. It's all your fault. And yeah, they do mention some factors here that would be contributing to deaths. Speeding, drunk driving, failure to stay in a lane, for example. Okay, well, what about when there is no defined lane, or when you've got a road system that is crumbling, or you know, things that are the responsibility of the Texas Department of Transportation, which is pretty shoddy. I've lived in a lot of states. The Texas Department of Transportation is incredibly shoddy by comparison to most of the places that I've lived. They do not maintain the roads. They are narrowing the roads. They are not adding roads. When you add people into a city, they do not keep up. And so you've got overcrowded roads. Do you think that might be a cause of death? Do you think that crumbling roads might be a cause of death? Do you think their harebrained way that they design the roads here in Texas, which is unlike anything I've ever seen in any other U.S. state or in Europe, I mean, it is absolutely harebrained what they do. But you think that might be a factor? Yeah, all of those things could be factors, but they're never going to look at what they do. They will only assess fines and blame on the driver, and that's precisely what we see from the medical community as well. It will never be about what Fauci does with his gain-of-function research. They'll never talk about that, right? And, yeah, they've got their road calming and their road diets and their traffic calming, so forth, and they don't want to build anything that isn't a toll road. It is incredibly corrupt what has happened, and it's not just here in Texas. It's happening across the country, but they seem to be leading the way and all of that. So when we look at what is happening, you know, we have a epidemiologist out of Sweden, and I just threw that paper away, so let me grab that out of the trash here. And, you know, Sweden has taken a different approach than these other states have taken. By that, I don't mean U.S. states. I mean nation states. Sweden has not locked this down the way some of these other people have. And the epidemiologist that is there, Professor Johan Giesecke, one of the world's most senior epidemiologists, says lockdowns are the wrong policy. I said at the beginning of the program, I said, we have been given a model. This is what China does, so now we all must follow that. And it's amazing to me to see that every country pretty much has done this, with the exception of about four, five, six countries have followed the lockdown policies. Sweden is one that has not done the strict lockdown like we have here in the U.S. in practically every state. He is advisor to the Swedish government, had former advisor, one of the world's most senior epidemiologists. As a matter of fact, he hired the current guy who has the policy of not locking everything down. And when we are presented, whenever you're presented by government officials and they say, well, you got to do either this or that, you pretty much know that they're not leveling with you. No decision should ever be presented as just either this or that, A or B. And so he goes down why this is the wrong policy. He says the UK policy on lockdown in other European countries is not evidence-based. The correct policy is to protect the old and the frail only. This will eventually lead to herd immunity as a byproduct. The initial response in the UK before the 180-degree turn was better. The Imperial College paper was not very good. That's the one that was used to gaslight President Trump and to greenlighting whatever Fauci wanted to do to this country. Look, we've had a lot of epidemiologists. We've had the epidemiologist from Stanford. We've had Israeli epidemiologists. We've had Israeli virologists. We've had respected mathematicians, all of them say this is not the right approach.
Can't relax, I'm uptight. I'm taking pain relievers every night. So tense, I can't cope. And I'd be hanging if I had some rope. Flipping and tripping like a low hippie. Her life is killing me.
Yeah, they call it the CARES Act. And President Trump, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, your care is killing us. We don't want a care package from Washington. We want to be allowed to live our lives and make our own decisions. I don't need your care. I don't believe that government is here to save me either. And I just want to finish up with what this Swedish epidemiologist was saying. Again, we've had multiple mathematicians, highly respected international reputations, Israeli virologist, another Israeli epidemiologist. We've had a couple of epidemiologists and mathematicians out of Stanford that destroyed these models at the very beginning. Said, look, they're based on false assumptions. If you got a model that has bad assumptions, you can't fix that with corrupt data, unless you're somebody like Fauci and Birx, and then you can get away with it. You can stuff whatever kind of data you want in there, and the media will faithfully report that to everybody and continue to gaslight the public. So I just want to give you what this guy has to say. These are his conclusions. It's one of the reasons why the Swedish government has not done lockdown anywhere, anything like what Fauci has demanded and demanded to continue. He talked about the Imperial College paper that you've heard about so much about out of the UK. That was reportedly the piece of propaganda that they gave to President Trump that got him to sign on to this and has pretty much been ruling that. He said the Imperial College paper was, quote, not very good, unquote. And he has never seen an unpublished paper have so much policy impact. Well, why would that be, do you think? Do you think that might be because of people like Pompeo and the British intelligence and so forth, just like they sold the P dossier, just like they pushed so many other things? You think they might be shopping that around like weapons of mass destruction or something? Yeah, the statistics are a weapon of mass destruction. We've got babies being taken off of incubators now. And then that story has gone on steroids. He said the paper was way too pessimistic. He said any such models are a dubious basis for public policy anyway. Anyway, right? The flattening of the curve is due to the most vulnerable dying first as much as it is to any lockdown. These people will claim credit for this. But as a Swedish epidemiologist, by the way, this is somebody who studies epidemics. That's his specialty. And, you know, the reason he says this, that the flattening of the curve was due to the most vulnerable dying first, that's because that's been understood by epidemiologists all the way back to 1840. It's called Farr's Law, F-A-R-R, Farr's Law. Look it up. Look it up. That's where the curve comes from, the bell-shaped curve. It has nothing to do with the actions of these lockdowns. He goes on to say the results will eventually be similar for all countries. In other words, all of these government actions where they're now falling over each other and arguing with each other as to who saved us. Did President Trump put the lockdown on quickly enough? No, say the Democrats. President Trump said he saved everybody and it wasn't, and the Democrats got in the way. They're both wrong. They're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. They didn't do anything to save you. What they did do was a boneheaded policy based on a failed model sold by a perpetual demagogue and bureaucrat like Fauci to destroy the economy and perhaps set off the greatest depression we have ever seen. He goes on to say, COVID-19 is a mild disease similar to the flu, and it was the novelty of the disease that scared people. Yeah, and it was the press that scared people, constantly talking about it being novel, novel, novel. The actual fatality rate of COVID-19, he said, is in the region of 0.1%, the Swedish epidemiologists. At least 50% of the population of both the UK and Sweden will be shown to have already had the disease when the mass antibody testing becomes available. That is the reality, folks. And here's the unfortunate reality, because we have ignored the sane people, the people who look at epidemics for a living, who don't have the kind of conflict of interest that Fauci has. Those type of people who are not trying to feather their nest, who are not trying to get billions of dollars for their agency as Fauci did back in 2007 when he was threatening doom and gloom with the Zika virus if Congress didn't give him $2 billion, $1.7 billion to be precise. He's got a conflict of interest in all of this. So the people who were looking at this and warning us about it said, don't go down that road. You're going to create a real problem. You're not going to be irrelevant to this particular disease. And this is the problem that we're now seeing. Business Insider. Hungry Americans waiting in lines miles long as food banks struggle to keep up with demand. Here's a look at how rising unemployment and dwindling volunteer pools are impacting U.S. food pantries. As national unemployment rates swell, they point out more than 16.8 million Americans, and of course, that does not even come close to what the real unemployment figures are. They can't even keep up with the people trying to file claims. It keeps crashing the state websites. And as I pointed out, the CDC has always overstated the fatality rates for diseases that they've got a vaccine for. And the Labor Department has always understated unemployment. Pointed that out last week. So when we look at this, they're saying, well, it looks like 13%, the highest rate since the Great Depression. No, it's actually probably even with their understatement, it is at least 17 to 18%, which is Great Depression area. But I think it's higher, much higher than that. And then the fact that they have wrecked the food supply chain, as the Hill points out. Fresh produce is going to waste. It's being destroyed. Farmers are going out of business. Farmers are not planting crops because they're having to destroy or give away what they've already got. So why would they plant it again? We're offered absolutely no hope or certainty because the rules don't apply here, right? We got President Trump who says he'd like to do it, but he pretends that he doesn't have the authority to do it. And the person who comes across as authoritative and says, well, you know, he just doesn't understand science. I'm the one that's going to tell you what reality is here. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to wait a long time. Hinting that it's going to be months. And as everybody is seeing this, we understand that he wants to do it a couple months at a time for an indefinite period of time. And so when you go to the store and you see empty shelves, like you were shopping at in a grocery store in the Soviet Union. I've never seen empty shelves like this in my life in America. Everywhere I go, whether it's a grocery store or whether it's Walmart or whatever, some of the big box retailers are allowed to be open. I'm seeing empty shelves everywhere. They have broken the food supply chain. And we don't realize just how bad this is going to be. Overnight, these idiot bureaucrats who don't know the first thing about how the system works have turned us into the Soviet Union or North Korea in terms of shortages. All right, when we come back, I want to go back and talk a little bit more about the masquerade ball that's going on. I guess we could call it the secret policeman's masquerade ball. Sign of submission. And, of course, the secret policemen are going to be there watching everything that you do. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
As I was just saying in the last segment, we have the Swedish epidemiologist, one of the recognized world authorities, saying the lockdown was the wrong approach. It isn't going to make any difference. You're going to see that all the different countries have roughly the same types of results, regardless of what they've done. And as I've pointed out, some of the worst places have been the places where they've had the most authoritarian response to this. And now we've got it wasn't just the Imperial College of London that he pointed out. He said, you should never put this much reliance on a particular study. And I've never seen this happen before, he said. But it's not just the Imperial College of London study. There was also the panic that was put out by the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, the IHME, heavily funded by Bill Gates, interestingly enough. And they got it severely wrong. These are the people that were being, their data was constantly being parroted by Fauci and Birx. First they were saying, yeah, it's going to be 2 million people die in America, then 1 million. Then it came down to 200,000. Then it came down to 100,000. You see a pattern happening here? Then they came down somewhere in the 80,000s, and then within a couple of days, they came down to 68,000, dropped it by 10. Well, guess what? On Friday, they dropped it another 10, 60,000. But they still have a range. Get this. A range of between 34,000 and 140,000. That's a pretty big range. When I see numbers like that, I just basically throw a model out like that. You should as well. They have absolutely no clue. No clue. And they've been wrong so many times, and then they've got a model that has a range of about 500% from the bottom to the top number. Yeah, you know, you're going from 30 to about 150,000, that's a factor of 5. You can't estimate anything better than that, then you don't have a clue. They've already missed the estimations of hospital beds, anywhere from a factor of 2 to a factor of 10, depending on the state. They've overestimated the number of ventilators required by a factor of 40. Why are we basing any policy on this? And why is it that the Constitution and individual liberty doesn't matter at all? I got a letter that an email. And again, you know, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at Libertarian, and you can see the email there to contact me securely. It's a Proton email account, so it is it's a secure email account. But I got this. I just want to read this to you because this is what happening is what is happening to real people in their life with this insanity. She said, the employer is making me have my temperature taken daily, along with a daily prying questions such as, did you have diarrhea? Within a few days of trying to tone down my rebellion toward that, now we have to wear a mask. This is causing my blood pressure to go through the roof. I can sympathize with that. Constant bombardment and reminders to keep at least 6 feet apart the whole time you're there. And went into a store over the weekend, a store where I didn't have to wear a mask. My wife and I went in. We needed to buy some construction supplies. And we, as a big box retailer, I won't mention their name because they were decent to us. They didn't throw us out like some of these other places. So I don't want to get them in any trouble with little petty judges or mayors around here. But we were the only people in there, employees or customers, who did not have a mask on. And nobody told us that we had to leave. So thank you. You'll continue to have my business after this is over, unless you change. But the whole time we were there, there were announcements coming over the intercom hectoring us about making sure we keep 6 feet apart from each other and we wear a mask and all this other kind of stuff. I'm telling you what, this is not the America that I want to live in. It's not the America I'm going to live in. We're going to change this. The constant bombardments at work. I can imagine how awful that must be at work. It was unbelievably annoying at a store. We wanted to get out of there as quickly as we could. And so we are dehumanizing everyone, she said, and I lose my individuality and my freedom. I'm so upset about it. I really need to fast and pray. I need more faith. I need God's help. That's right. That's the only thing that's going to get us out of this. So let's talk about the secret policeman's masquerade ball, because as I said before, they are having a ball, aren't they? With this power trip that they're on. And it is a masquerade ball. We all must wear a costume. We all must participate in the pageant that they have going here, this wag the dog pageant. Yeah, there's a deeper meaning in all this, isn't there? It really is like, do you have your eyes wide shut or do you see what's going on? As many of the people, as I was talking about what was happening in the stores, I think it was over the weekend, it's either Friday or Saturday, it might have been Saturday morning because what happened on Friday night, one person said, well, based on what I've seen people reusing their medical grade masks to a stained and grimy state, which renders them even more useless. Because first person came back as I was complaining about this and said, so when you contract COVID-19, are the people and businesses that you are bashing for being cautious allowed to shame and laugh at you? Are they being cautious or are they being ridiculous? My position is they're being ridiculous. And I said to this person, I said, you might want to look up cause and effect. If I get COVID-19, it doesn't prove that no mask was the cause, does it? Just like it doesn't prove that because China shut down their economy, that they even had a big problem. That doesn't prove it. Didn't prove it from the very beginning. As I said before, you had Mao, who was idolized by Xi Jinping, murdered 80 million people, according to their count. Just starving them to death as an exercise of power and stupidity. And this Mao is worshipped by this guy. So I said, while you have the encyclopedia, get in some information on viruses, especially the size of viruses. They're so small that it took much longer for them to be discovered than it did bacteria. And so you're going to wear a bandana and this is going to take care of all of this for you? That's a joke. One person said, yeah, cloth face covering will not protect you from the virus, as the mesh size is too large. It's a joke, honestly. Telling people who are wearing a bandana that it'll stop the spread, even an N95, only brings you down to the beginning range of viruses. And I said, yeah, this is what this is really about, folks. You need to understand. This mentality that masks are not for your safety, but therefore the safety of other people, this is nothing but psychological preparation for mandatory vaccines. This is why this is being done. But they don't really care about this. You don't have to have an N95 mask. There's no specifications on your homemade mask. As a matter of fact, you know, I gave you the story about the family that was turned away because they only had one mask. And they were turned away from a shelter in the middle of a tornado storm. As tornadoes are tearing up the town, they wouldn't let them in the storm shelter. Sorry, you don't have a mask. Go away. Now, if they just had taken a Kleenex and stapled it, you know, to some rubber bands and put those around there, that would have been fine because it's really about a sign of submission. It has nothing to do with medicine. This is all about a psychological operation. Because you have to understand the same logic that's involved here, right? If your mask protects you, then you're protected. No, that's not good enough for them. It's the same thing we've always heard about vaccines, isn't it? You know, they say, well, the mask is to keep your spray, you know, your air and your moisture particles contain that and so forth. Well, you know, stuff goes both ways, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you breathe in, you breathe out through the mask. If it's going to trap the particles or not trap the particles, it may trap the, you know, some of the saliva, but it didn't necessarily trap any viruses, right, if it's not the right thing. But this is the mentality. You are the threat to me. I can't protect myself with a mask. I can only protect myself if I put a mask on you. That's the same thing that we've always heard to argue for mandatory vaccines, isn't it? The vaccine doesn't protect me. The only thing that protects me is if you get vaccinated. I mean, this kind of mindset is what is being applied again to masks. And this is why I tell you, this is about conditioning you for mandatory vaccines. And you need to read B.F. Skinner, Beyond Freedom and Dignity, because that's where Fauci is taking us, beyond freedom and dignity. Welcome back. Yeah, we're talking about masks. And you know, by the way, we do have a black mask that has Infowars.com on it. That's one way to get the information out. Tell people where they can go to figure out what's behind this secret policeman's masquerade ball. Get a mask that says Infowars.com. If you have to wear it for your job, or you have to wear it in order to go somewhere that you actually have to must get into that store, that's one way that you can get around this and push back against that. We also have at InfoWarsStore.com, we have some products that are going to help you with your immune system. Another way to push back against this. Of course, we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off. You get your essential vitamins and minerals and amino acids in an easy-to-take drink mix format. So you can make this taste any way that you want. You don't have to swallow a lot of pills to get your baseline nutrition of vitamin, minerals, and amino acids. That's now 50% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix. We also have vitamin D3. We call it winter sun. And that is now 50% off. A great way to help to stabilize your immune system. D3 does not directly fight the virus, but we've had both officials from the NIH as well as the CDC saying, look, the immune system gets into a cytokine storm with the coronavirus and many other things. And so the vitamin D3 helps to regulate it and to strengthen it. So you want to have that as strong as possible. Again, D3, winter sun, that is now 50% off. And finally, storable food is now back in stock. There is going to be a little bit of a delay, but folks, you need to sign up for this because, as I've been pointing out, you got a lot of farmers who, if they can't sell their products to the restaurants that have now been arbitrarily shut down as being non-essential. They're having to plow this stuff under. And it's just amazing to me to see the way that they have rapidly broken the food supply system. And these farmers who are plowing stuff under have said, well, I'm not going to plant this again until I know that the government isn't going to shut down my ability to sell it. Why would you plant if you're not going to be able to sell? So make sure that you are covered and prepared with storable food. Again, that storable food will last for 25 years. So if the worst does not happen, and we hope that it doesn't, you'll still have that storable food for up to 25 years. It's made in America. It's non-GMO. And you can find it at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, when we look at the masks itself, as one person said, you know, one of the things that people are not talking about, you know, when we talk about health, is health going to be the most important thing? Well, I don't think it is, quite frankly. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, where do we rank the different things? Jefferson said, the God that gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. The hand of force can destroy them, but cannot separate them. Actually, he said disjoin, but cannot separate them. You don't have life if you don't have liberty. Life without liberty is not a life that's worth living. Americans throughout history have laid their lives down so that we could have liberty. So are we going to throw this away just because somebody promises to keep us safe? Don't you realize that those promises have never been fulfilled? Because to the extent that you're willing to give up your freedom, to that extent you become a slave. Slaves are never safe. Slaves are never prosperous. You call people who are freedom lovers, you say, well, it's getting harder and harder to find, to distinguish freedom lovers from sociopaths. Yeah, that's the mentality now in America. But as one person pointed out on Twitter, Muse Tefero said, they're ignoring the fact that chronic respiratory conditions such as asthma or emphysema, or people who have that type of thing, are actually advised not to wear masks because it impairs their ability to breathe. So why would we force that on somebody in the name of public health? Well, because it's just like the educational system. It's a one-size-fits-all. We have Deborah Birx with the CDC, you know, one of our authorities, one of the two really smart people that's advising President Trump on this. This is what she had to say about the flu. She said, we no longer have the flu. Here's a video clip number two.
Is a part of the exquisite monitoring that needs to occur in partnership with CDC and state and local governments, utilizing the surveillance systems that are available, what we just talked about, the flu surveillance system, because we no longer have flu, and the syndromic respiratory system that is across the United States. And you can see it's going back to baseline so that we'll be able to.
There you go. We no longer have flu. Yeah, because it's one of the reasons why COVID-19 is number one. Because nobody's having heart attacks anymore. Nobody's dying from the flu. Nobody's got pneumonia. So put on your mask. And you know what? It may get even worse. We've got, this is coming from the UK. It's an Australian doctor. His name is Andy Tagg. He's pointed out that flatulence could cause coronavirus after analyzing a series of tests taken from a coronavirus patient earlier this year. He's a doctor. So he must be believed, right? Because anybody who's got a degree, you just bow down to that degree. He cited tests that revealed the virus was present in the feces of 55% of the patients with COVID-19. Other doctors have previously warned that flatulence contains tiny poo particles that can spread bacteria. Well, you know, as I said when I was talking to Eric Peters, I grew up with doctors who recommended different brands of cigarettes as being healthy, right? I've watched doctors prescribe opioids for people because they were told to by other experts and get millions of people hooked on opioids. Or they did it for financial gain as well. You know, I've even watched doctors kill my father with chemotherapy immediately, first treatment. So don't talk to me about doctors. There are good doctors out there, but they're also very dangerous doctors. Just having a doctor's degree doesn't make you an expert. And if you work for the NIH, it makes you nothing but a bureaucrat. Across the nation, masks are the latest political cultural divide, writes the Houston Chronicle. They're talking about one individual who will not wear a mask because he doesn't think it's necessary, whatever the scientists say. Another says they won't wear one either. And she's a physician because she says it's un-American for the government to force people to cover their faces. But see, if we don't wear a mask, we are told that we're stupid. I think what's stupid is this whole idea of flatulence. I think, you know, if we look at, take this to the logical conclusion, it means you're probably going to have to now not just wear a mask, but you'll probably have to wear some kind of plastic diapers, you know, to protect the world. Because, I mean, look, this is the same agenda that we've seen with the climate change people, right? Cow flatulence, that's destroying the world. I wouldn't be surprised that they're going to tell us now that your flatulence is destroying the world. You're some kind of a bioterrorist. But, of course, you know, we are told by some people who ought to know better that we have to take, we have to wear the mask, because if we don't wear the mask, then they're going to force a vaccine on us. As a matter of fact, here's Mike Adams explaining that very thing to us. Let's play video clip number one.
If you, there's a test to tell whether someone has stupid 19. You can simply ask them, do you think people should wear masks in the middle of a pandemic that has a transmissible virus that's airborne? Should people wear masks in public? And those who are afflicted with stupid 19 will say, no, we shouldn't wear masks. We're not slaves to the globalists. That's what they will say because, of course, the
You're
virus made them say that.
Wear masks.
Anybody who still has a brain that hasn't been eaten by the stupid 19 epidemic knows that masks help stop the spread of infectious disease because the people who have the disease, who may be asymptomatic carriers, when they wear a mask and they speak, they're not spraying the virus into the air in aerosolized particles that can infect other people. So, of course, masks are actually the greatest act of resistance against this disease and resistance against globalists, perhaps resistance against the vaccine industry that wants you to stay locked down in your apartment until they have a jab, maybe a gunpoint jab, that you'll be required to take. If you want to cure this coronavirus before you're required to take a vaccine, then you need to wear a mask.
Because, you know, the mask only works in one direction. It only works on the person, you know, who is it. You have to put this on somebody else to protect you. If you put a mask on, you're not protected. That's the same mentality that we see being used to sell vaccines. You have to wear a mask to protect others. They are not protected if they wear a mask. You have to get a vaccine to protect others. They are not protected if they get the vaccine. Look, we have two different ways that we can focus on this. We can focus on individual patients, and we can focus on individual liberty. If we do that, then we have a doctor-patient relationship. We have informed consent. We have no mandatory treatments like vaccine or euthanasia, right? And we have no prohibited medicine without the informed consent of the patient. And so, therefore, we have no government role. Now, the other thing that we can do is instead of focusing on the individual patient, instead of focusing on individual liberty, we can focus on a herd mentality and the safety of the herd. You've got to wear the mask to protect other people. They can't be protected wearing the masks themselves. Now, if we do that, if we put public safety as our first priority, then that means that we protect the group even if we have to harm the individual. You people with asthma, you put on your mask. Eventually, all individuals are attacked in one way or the other under that system, and the result is we have the herd being tracked. We have mandatory treatments. We have indifference to bad results for these individuals as long as the idea or the model says that it protects the herd. In other words, government's role is everything. That's called totalitarianism. Guess which one the government wants you to buy into? That's it for today's broadcast. Thanks for listening.